Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of the world's funniest comedians. This is Comedy Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. Welcome to an all-new episode of Comedy Gold Mines, where we do what? Tell me what we do. Tell me what we do. I can hear you saying it. Like, technically, I can't because I'm on my podcast, but I know you're saying it back. I know you're in your cars, or you're on a treadmill, or you're doing something where you're working out, or just being in a self-love space where you love to listen to this, and you're going, we get inside the minds of funny people. That's what you're saying, because that's what we do here on Comedy Gold Mines. Because, oh my God, what amazing minds funny people have. And today, we got a weird funny mind. We got an amazingly talented, funny, comedic, extraordinary mind. A friend, I can honestly say more like family now. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Niecy Nash on Comedy Gold Mines. Niecy, what's going on?
What's to it, Gil?
What's going on? I would say that I am, you know what I am going to say? Niecy, I don't know how you've never touched the stage for stand-up comedy. For my listeners, if you're not familiar with Niecy Nash, let me make you familiar. Amazing show she's had on TNT called Claws. You may be familiar with her from Reno 911 and her amazing time on that show where the world of that false reality sketch parody-like comedy was, I feel like, revived. Because it had died for a moment, and Reno 911 came along and put together an amazing cast with so many funny people, some that came from the sketch world, some that didn't. But the show, it became a huge success, and of course, a lot of the cast went on to have amazing careers, and Niecy acts as an example of one of those amazing careers, not just TV, movies, and tons of other things. I mean, an author, she's doing it and has done it all. Proud of her, I am, but shocked. Shocked that you have not touched the road of actual stand-up comedy. And that's a real question. Why? Why is that?
Okay, well, touched it, yes. Lived on it, no. What happened was, I know you know. There was a point in time where they were giving every stand-up a sitcom. You remember back in those days.
I do.
And so I said, well, if that's what I got to do to get a show, let me get on the stage. Got on the stage. I had a good time. You know, I was a comic about 7 months when I landed. What's the big thing in Canada?
Montreal, yes.
Yeah, Montreal. I landed that. I did stand up there. And let me, little known fact, the year that I went, it was me, Mike Epps, Monique, and Craig Robinson. We were the four, okay. We were the four black people.
Okay.
And I, you know what? I could not really live in a stand-up world because at that time, my children were little. And the very last time I was on stage, that was back when they would make the girls wait till 11:30, 12 o'clock to go on. I got up around midnight and I said, I was at the improv. And I said, how's everybody doing tonight? And all of a sudden, I was nursing and my milk came down on stage.
Wow.
And, you know, I covered up the girls, Carmen and Brittany, because that's what I call them. And I went home and I never went back.
So you had a lactate situation on stage that pretty much put you in the mindset of this ain't for me. He said, this ain't for me.
Not with little babies, because you need to tour to be a successful stand-up. And it just, the way my life was built at the time, I couldn't do it. So I decided to just be funny on camera.
It's never not been a thought in the back of your head of, okay, well, wait, man, like what type of real success am I experiencing now? Oh my God, is there another level? Is there a springboard to more? And, you know, if there was, is this the door that it could be? Like when I say you have, you got that thing and it's just so much more, you know, than what you've put on display, of course, on television throughout the years. I just feel like some people have it. And it shocks me that you never tried it. And I hate that a fucking little bit of milk coming from your breast stopped you. I hate that's what stopped you.
It wasn't just that.
It wasn't just that. It wasn't.
No, it was just that, you know what? But I feel like to do stand-up, you have to love that medium.
Okay.
You have to love it because stand-up is its own beast. It is not like when they hand you a script. You never know what that audience is going to be that night. You never know how it's going to go. You stuff that you thought would kill, sometimes it don't. Sometimes you come up with something on the thing and you like, I'm going to write that shit down because then nah, I didn't know I was even going to say that. It is its own beast. But I think you have to be super passionate about it in order to wax eloquent in it. And I liked it, but I don't know that I loved that medium enough. Oddly, because I started being funny, I kept trying to prove to people that I could do something else. Like that last thing you did that I called you about. I told you on the text that you were marginal, but in my heart of hearts, you were really fabulous. That was me loving.
That was you. That was you doing your best to show me some type of love in a way that only you can. This is marginal, Kevin. But what that really meant is that, Kevin, oh my God, I'm so proud of you.
Yes, and I love you.
I love you. I love you. Where do you find your most fun now? I mean, you know, when we talk about that comedic tone, is that where you do find your joy, your happy? Is that where, you know, is that where your loose is right now in your career? Or do you feel like, okay, you've got a lot more and you're now getting to the side? Because in Claws, I feel like you play both sides of it, right? Like in Claws, you're not.
Sure.
There's a grounded tone to your character. And yes, there's personable moments. Yes, there's funny moments. But all in all, you know, the story and the arc of that character and why she's in the position that she's in and the relationship that she's have, it goes down a nice little dark pipeline. So that's not necessarily the world of funny that you once were in. So where are you at mentally now? Just in want and in happy and in, you know, I guess you can say just comfort in a space.
Well, in happy, I love being a part of a hybrid.
Okay.
So I like to double dip and be able to give people both, which I have found. I mean, I now know that comedy is such a gift. It is the one thing in this business that nobody can teach you. You can't go to a class and learn it. You just either are or you're not. Now you could work out ways to harness it and ways to give it to the world, but it's a gift that you show up with that you cannot get in anybody's class and in anybody's workshop. So I love the fact that I was made funny. And I love that I get to show people that I'm also more than that.
Okay.
So I guess that would be I'm starting a new job now on ABC called the Rookie Feds, where I'm the oldest trainee in the FBI. And it is definitely gonna be a hybrid. And I feel like that's my sweet spot. People who can make you laugh can make you cry, but the reverse is not always true.
I like that. I like that. That's smart. How does Niecy Nash get here? Let's go down that road, right? We know where you now are. And I gave an amazing intro, which was deserved, but not really, because I know you. But how do you get here? How does Niecy Nash get in the business?
I was a kid who got pinched in church for playing around, got put on punishment because I was talks too much was on my report card. And my mom was like, well, what was you in there talking about? I was telling jokes. Oh, you want to be funny? Let me give you something. Come here. You know, and so I got in trouble a lot for what I thought was just my personality. And mm-hmm. so I didn't know that being funny was a thing. And then in 93, my only brother was murdered on his high school campus. I don't know how you get caught in a love triangle at 17, but
wow.
that was our lot in life. And I watched my mother go from this vibrant person to saying, I'm getting into bed and I'm never getting back out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew, but at that young age, my brother was murdered the day before my 23rd birthday.
Only brother or a sibling of?
Oh, no, that was my only brother. And so I say, at this young age, I don't know how to help my mother, but I do know I can make her laugh. And the genesis of all of it, I guess walking it out, was me coming to my mother's house every day, doing stand-up at the foot of her bed, doing characters, doing voices, you know, whatever I could do to, you know, bring her up a little. And one day I went there and she wasn't in the bed. And I was, and her car was in the front, but I'm like, she's like, we're in here. And I'm like, who is we? I went across the street and got the neighbors, you know, Miss Brown and Miss Sadie, get up there and tell these people some jokes. Y'all gonna love this, you know? And I was like, what? So my first first time I did stand up was in front of the neighbors. And as I was standing on the, she said, get mama's karaoke microphone and tell these people some jokes. And that is when I realized that comedy was a gift. And I heard a voice, Kevin, as audible as my own, say, Niecy, don't be a selfish heifer. Go outside and spread this around because it's a lot of other people suffering. And that was the gateway. Because I was trying to get very serious jobs and nobody would hire me. When I walked in a room and I said, my name is Niecy Nash, I'm funny. They were like, yes, you are, little girl. Get over here and get to getting. And that was how I started that path.
Wow. I'm blown away, first of all, by the events that took place attached to your brother. I mean, goddamn. You know, I can only imagine at that time what that probably felt like, what you went through. And it's crazy, you know, because you hear a lot of stories about the journey that a lot of these personalities that make us smile and make us laugh have been through, right? And, you know, some dark, some not, some complex, some not. But, you know, the real stars that make you shine find true reason and purpose for doing said thing. And I think it's amazing that you found that through the world of fucking turmoil, right? Like, you're talking about your mother and what you saw her turn into, and, you know, taking that and using that as reason for you to act as sunshine. You know, you want to put a smile on people's faces more. I think that's the definition of, like, that's real strength. That's real fucking strength.
First of all, thank you. But second of all, when you hear the term in this business, tears of a clown, I feel like you could look up in, you know, in the dictionary and see photos of many of us, because a lot of the people that I know that bring me the most laughter have experienced the most pain. And so I'm like the kind of person who, what I'm grateful to God for is that you can't tell what I've been through by looking, Kevin. You know, but prior to even my brother being murdered, I was 15 when I saw my mama get shot by her boyfriend, you know? So there was a lot of violence and a lot of pain. And when I found comedy, let me tell you how it helped me and hurt me at the same time. It helped me because it was an outlet, and I realized that I could give something to the world that I felt like was needed. But how it hurt me, I played too much. And I could never be serious in real life for a long time, because I thought, if I let myself feel that, it ain't no coming back from that. So, like, even when I was married the first time, my ex-husband would be like, hey, we need to talk. And I would just start cabbage patching. We need to talk. Hey, we need to talk. And he would be like, no, like, stop. Like, and I just did not want to be serious, because I felt like if I ever stopped laughing, my heart was going to fall out.
Wow.
I just had to stay on the ride. And then eventually we maturate, we mature, we go to therapy, we have a glass of Acrite. But for a long time, I was a one-trick pony. It's going to be laughs or nothing.
Wow. I like that because I relate to it. I relate to that. You know, I'm definitely a product of the, okay, man, you know, shit. I think I'm hurting, but to mask from it, let me pop lock, right? Let me, oh shit, something ain't right. I feel a little funny, man. I think this may be sad. I'm going out and I'm about to tell somebody something to make me laugh. Hey, remember that time when, like, I'm that guy, and I've been that guy for a large portion of my life, almost to the point now where I may not have feelings or emotions. Like, I really think that right now, I may be a product of, like, that shit is so suppressed because of how much, you know, I've dealt with over the course of time and how many fallen soldiers, relationships. I mean, there is true meaning to what you're saying. And my side of relatability comes from, you know, really hands-on experiences that are aligned with that. Like, I've been that, and I may still be that.
Wait a minute, but here's the funny part about all of it. After you've done it for so long, you can't even stop doing it because now everybody depending on you to keep it going. So it's just like, you're like, I'm gonna live here until I can unpack this thing.
I'm telling you, it is, it's one of those things now that I'm actually thinking about. I'm like, fuck, man. Because when I run back to stand up, it's always after a break, after a delay, right? And my rush back to the stage comes from stress, going through too much. It's fucking shit is just really starting to weigh on me. I'm overwhelmed. God damn, I'm about to pop. I'm a walking fireball. I'm gonna get back on stage. And the stage is my muse. That's my... The laughter, that acts as my, that's my fucking, okay. That's my calm. That's my drug. So if I was addicted to anything, I'm addicted to the feeling that comes with laughter. I'm addicted to the feeling of joy that others are having because that's what brings me the most joy. So that's the way of suppressing whatever this thing is. You know what I mean? And when you say tears of a clown, it's fucked up, but I understand. I too get it.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation.
Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident? That's up to you and the law to decide.
But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags,
because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.
You now, of course, are on this journey to success, right? You're on this road, and an amazing road it is. What are the people around you thinking as you grow? as the opportunities start to present themselves and they see that, you know, your life could possibly change. You could possibly be something that none of us were or that none of us thought that you were going to be. What was the feeling of like belief from your circle, from your family?
Well, my mother has always been surprised at every rung mm-hmm. of every ladder. You know what I mean? Girl, them people gonna give you a star on the Walk of Fame. Girl, them people gonna let you get on the magazine cover. I'm like, who are what people? What are you even talking about? Well, it sounds very much like Massa gonna find out we reading and writing. I'm like, you know, my mother is very happy for me, but very like, I've never seen this up close. No one in our family is in entertainment. No one in our family, you could turn on the TV. There was at one point where I cut the TV on one day and five different things were on that I was in the same wow. running down the channel. I just put the remote down and tears ran down my eyes. And I said, man, God is kind.
Wow.
And so I know that because I live in a place of gratitude, the people around me we're similar in that space. So very, very happy for me. But with regards to my children, I think because they grew up with me being on TV, I made it look easy. And so when you're good at anything, people think, oh, that's nothing for you. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, then you try to do it. And when they tried to do it, it was like, oh, yeah, this is more than just getting mm-hmm. your hair and makeup done every day. It's a lot more. So I think that they, you know, the people in my circle are happy for me. But if I'm honest, Kevin, sometimes they have to remind me of who I really am. Because sometimes I just don't see myself the way others see me in the world.
Why do you think that is, though? Why?
You know what? I'm trying to figure that out because sometimes I just forget, and it takes an Ava DuVernay or, you know, my sister in the business, Kelly Stewart, or my BFF, Sherry Shepherd, to be like, bitch, do you know who you are? Like, stop it, knock it off, and you know, here's a way of thinking of it. I don't know. Sometimes I just still feel like, everything that God has shown me has not come to pass yet. So I still feel like I'm mm-hmm. moving towards the mark. And sometimes the good people in my life say, no, because there was a mark, and don't forget that mark. And I'm just grateful to have people to see me, fully see me when I can't see myself.
I think that's, that's very honest. They're very honest, but I think that's also a talent within itself, right? Like that's the humble approach to any type of success. When you dim your light, mainly because it's like you're still in such disbelief that you are where you are, because you're constantly reminding yourself of where you come from. That's an amazing talent. And that's a talent that a lot of people fucking don't have, by the way. A lot of people get lost in the new and forget the old. A lot of people, you know, get lost with the new identity, the new goddamn presentation of who they are. A lot of people standing at it, it's as if it's been that, and if it's as if it can stay that way for their whole life, as if life can't throw hooks, you know, gut shots, uppercuts, and fucking knock you down. You know, some people aren't aware of the strength of the unknown. And I think those that are find a lot of success and more success because they're always thankful for what's to come. They're always grateful for what's being given or for what's being like, holy shit, I can't believe I got something else. Oh my God, I'm on a billboard. Oh my God, I'm on TV. Like those are the real moments. So
it still brings tears to my eyes sometimes. And I know another thing that contributed to it, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this in a relationship, but sometimes you can be with people who need you to be small. They need you to just dim it down. Turn that light down a pinch because it makes them feel away. And so if you've ever experienced that and you've walked in that for a while, that can also be a part of it. Let me not do too much because you're going to feel away. You know what I mean? And now that I'm on the other side of that, I just feel like I could be as shiny as I want to be. And because I'm supported and seen in a different, through different eyes.
Mm-hmm. Do you now, I know you said that you have something else that you're working on now. Is there a checklist of goals to come that Niecy Nash has that she feels like, you know, she's yet to do that your job in the space of entertainment isn't done until you do said things? Like, what's the world of want for you at the moment?
Oh, I really want to grow my production company, Chocolate Chick. It is very, very important to me to, I am so passionate about actors and I love creating opportunity for other people to win. I never forget when I booked the Bernie Mac show, playing mm-hmm. his sister, rest in peace to the late great Bernie Mac.
And very funny show, very funny role, by the way.
Thank you. And when I first was told, he told me I got the job and he said, I got mine, you get yours. He said, baby girl, do you and I'll follow.
Wow.
And I never forgot that. And he made room for me. He let my gift make room for me. If I wanted to go off script, if I wanted to have the joke that went up the biggest, or I added something that the whole crew started laughing and we had to film it over, he's like, keep that, do that, get that. And I loved what my takeaway from him was, share the light. Mm-hmm. It's always room. Mm-hmm. There is always room. So I'm so passionate about actors and I want to continue to grow my brand. I mean, my production company, Chocolate Chick. I want to be able to flat-footed say that I'm a movie star.
Okay.
Because I could get a job on TV if I can't do nothing else. There are certain people who I want to work with in life.
No.
Why?
No.
Why?
I just felt like
we did that one little movie together 1,000 years
ago. I'm not dealing with you.
You weren't even a big deal.
I'm not dealing with you.
You couldn't stand on your wallet then. Well, you had your hair wasn't even curled up at the top back then. You still had a flat. You had a low cut season, man. Come on, you wasn't wearing custom suits.
Come on, Kevin. Now don't act like I don't. Okay, don't act like that. Your shoulders wasn't even. I remember the way.
You probably had one ab. You had one ab, Kevin. You're on the gram with your shirt off every damn day. You had one ab.
Don't act like you had any. Niecy, you on the big screen is amazing. Like, what do you mean? That's a no-brainer. I feel like, you know what I think happens? What I feel like happens? I think that the misconception from TV to film is that like the world of TV doesn't transfer to the world of film. That's not the case. I mean, I think TV stars, of course, are TV stars because there's a different relationship with an audience that's built over the course of time. And that audience is one that's in someone's living room, and that rapport is different from the one that's on the big screen, right? The big screens are more of the event. The TV is more of the day-to-day. Like, these characters, these shows, these storylines get me by my week. They get me by my days, my whatever. Like, it's a relationship and a journey that you go through with any type of TV show and the cast, because the cast grows. The show goes on and on, especially if you're fortunate enough to get to season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, that's a big fucking deal. Over the course of 100 episodes, an audience has got to see you go through a journey of, and then you say goodbye at the end. The side of event to movie is different. It's just different, right? And the road of going back and forth, well, it's one that requires a lot of work. So 9 times out of 10, when the person that's doing TV, if that show is going for a long time, that time off is a break. And a lot of those actors or actresses, some of them prefer to have that time as downtime, right? Be with their family, be with their loved ones, have a break, come up for fresh air, and then go back to work to go film the next season win. But that time for life is something that people take advantage of. I'm an asshole that didn't do that. Like, I'm the guy that's, all right, I'm off. I'm gonna go back. I got the other thing. And then when I'm done that thing, I do the other thing. And I look up and my break is 2 weeks. I got a 2 week break that I've allotted for vacation, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a gift and a curse to the grind. And that gift and the curse is, you know, you don't come up for the air as much, but you going and doing fucking movies, Niecy, that's easy. That's easy. You're too vibrant of a personality. And I mean, if you're talking about a laugh, you're a guaranteed laugh track. And if you're talking about a grounded role where you get the best of both worlds, you presented that as well. So I think that's just about the right piece of development. And like you said, who you want to work with, what you want to do. That's not a hard fucking task. Like, that's more about people just wanting to know, oh, you want to do that? Because there's an assumption that comes with, oh, well, I know they got the show and they do this. Yeah. So they're in the off season. I mean, maybe they may want to do it. It's like people are more timid to ask because of what they assume your world to be.
Yeah.
That's the world. That's the problem with TV to film. It's the assumption that those are doing TV. Oh, well, it's going to be tough because they're shooting and then afterwards they're off. So maybe we can, maybe we won't. Let's just see what else is out there that's a little more reliable, because that may not come back. Because that's 9 times out of 10 what a lot of the stars in that space have done over the course of time.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show, because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to work through, but my work through was always in other television, because now that we have this non-traditional filming of schedule for streamers, You can be on the TV show, in that show, and then go over to a streamer and guest star, do a limited series, but it all still kind of stayed in that same wheelhouse. And now that, you know, I have this goal to make love all around the world, I might need those breaks. I don't know.
I love this. I love this, because this is how people really go, you know what? Like, you know, when you have conversations that make people go, you know what? That's what this is. This is a, you know what, conversation. Because when I hear this now, it ignites me to go, well, that's dope as fuck, knowing that Niecy wants to do something in space. What can I possibly find in said space? What could I do with Niecy? Where can I get down with Niecy? Now knowing that, because I would get down with Niecy in a fucking heartbeat. Like, I'm all for it. When you talk about that space of, like, you know, production company or sharing the light, you know, you having a production company, me having the knowledge that I have behind the production company is like, you know, this is a moment where you truly do get to see and understand how to help educate and inform those that you're closest to. Because I say it all the time on this podcast, information is the one thing that we don't share. Information is the one thing that we're so secretive about.
Say it all for the people in the back, Kevin.
It's so crazy that we really don't understand. Like, it's a big thing. It's a real, real big thing. It's a real, real big deal. I think in this time, we should glorify that. We should glorify the fact that the business of entertainment has now become an open book. It's an open book. It's an open book. And I think you should, each one should teach one. And in this space, yo, I'm there for that, for you, with you, and just giving you fucking giving you things that you can use that can help make your world better, or even co-producing something with you, Niecy. Like, there's so many ways to help elevate your world of production, right? It doesn't have to be the Kevin Hart side of it or the Niecy Nash side of it. It can be the idea that you have that you wanted to fucking do. The idea that you have that you want to develop. I can help develop it with you, co-produce, help fucking get your legs in different doors. Then you go on to do things yourself off of those relationships. There's so many ways to play that game when it comes to producing.
Oh, but that's a gift though, Kevin, because a lot of people are, I feel like we are either socialized or out of fear. We don't want to leave the door open. We're not a helpful community as a whole because people are either so scared you're going to get what they got, or you're going to take something from them, or you're going to be shinier than them. This should have never been my way. You know, I was the only person in my family who ever wanted to pursue entertainment. So I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was flying it all by the seat of my pants. And so when I learned a thing, I always wanted to tell the next person, like, oh, here's the thing. And I almost missed my very first movie. I almost missed the flight because when this was back when they used to send a traditional limousine to pull up in front of your house. And when they told me that we're going to send a car, I thought it was going to be some guy named Jeremy in a Toyota Camry. And me and my mama looked out the window at this limo so long. She said, girl, I bet you Miss Brown done died. I said, she was so nice. Now we're looking at the limo waiting on the family to come out. And finally, we realized that it was my car. Almost missed the dang gone. The dang on thing, because I didn't even know that. I didn't know how all the all the things worked. So I love hearing, if somebody is open to share, I'm like a sponge. I'm like, yes, what do I need to know? And I'm helping the next person. And that should be the goal.
Absolutely. Do you have anything that you act as a producer on now?
I'm an executive producer of the series that I'm doing, Rookie Feds, on ABC. I'm an executive producer of my series that starts Monday, Don't Forget the Lyrics, on Fox.
Okay. So these are two things. These are two things that you're not only acting in, but that you got your hand on the producing pod in as well.
Yes.
And with Claws, did you ever make that? Did it ever go down that pipeline with Claws? Were you ever able to attach yourself?
I started as a work for hire. Mm-hmm. And by the time it was over, I was a producer director.
Okay. How many episodes did you direct?
One. And the second time I was supposed to direct that next year, my foot was broken. And so I was acting. My foot was broke. It was so many things it was just too overwhelming to do it and not be 100%.
Well, what I love, man, I love that, like, you're taking the opportunity and you're going through doors that you're figuring out can be open. Like, you know, like you said, the first one you were work for hire, and by the end of it, you were EPing, and then you also saw the opportunity to direct. I mean, the education comes from just being in the environment. Now you're talking about the show that you're hosting and executive producing, Don't Forget the Lyrics. That's one. Then we're talking about an ABC series that you're starring in as well as EPing on as well. I mean, this is the other side. Right now, just for information for you, these are Niecy Nash EP moments, right? When you talk about the company, well, the next stage is implementing the company to where the company acts as a producer, right? Or a producing partner. And then under the company's umbrella, then you're also a creative or an EP. But the company is a producing partner. So that money goes through the company, and then the company is paying out the EPs under your umbrella. That's how you get your staff. That's how you pay for the staff. That's where the world of financial distribution starts to change the dynamic of the engine that you've created. So just something to keep in your mind, it's Niecy Nash today, but it should be the Chocolate Girl. Is that what you said to this? Chocolate Chick. It will be Chocolate Chick tomorrow, and figuring out the things that you want to make your world of like identity. That's the other fun part of it. Like, what do you want Chocolate Chick to be known for? What do you want that producing eye to look like? That's where it gets dope. That's where you start to have the most fun, because now those opportunities that you're talking about, that light that you're talking about sharing, well, it's easier. It's much easier.
I love what you're saying, because when you say what, you know, sparks you and what brings you joy, it is the always finding another way to play in this business. I've been a TV show host. I'm an author. I've directed, I've acted, all of these things, but it's the what else that gives me butterflies in my stomach. It's like, oh, you know, now I want to do this and now I want to try that. And, you know, and figuring out that way, the when you don't know what you don't know, you know what you want, and then you put it out in the universe, and it is just like it'll come to you as long as you continue to just don't get off the path. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm staying on it until I see the promise.
I like it. I like it, and I'm here for it. Yo, I think that this is an amazing place just to put a button on it, right? And the reason why I say to put a button on this conversation, because the conversation is one that I feel is so inspiring if you truly listen to it correctly. And the inspiring piece to the conversation for me is, of course, your journey and your road to implementing yourself into the space of laughter that then transferred over to the space of entertainment and allowed you to put your talent in front of many. And that talent was seen and gravitated towards where you've become the successful actress that you are. And I mean, you work consistently for shit. How many years now, Niecy? How many years have you been working in this business? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's amazing. God bless you. That's amazing.
Older than I look, Kevin.
I won't say that on air. That's not for the people to know. That's not for the people to know. I'll keep that to myself. But I like that you're still going. I like that you're still grinding. And I like that you're still smiling. And, you know, the reference that you gave as far as tears of a clown, it can have so many meanings. But, you know, those tears that once were, well, they do turn into joy at some point. And happy looks good on you. And I couldn't be happier for anybody else, just because I know you and knowing you, knowing how grounded you are, knowing how loving you are. Like, your energy is dope as fuck because it's real, it's genuine. And I think that's why the blessings that you've had continue to come. Don't fucking change, Niecy. All right, I know I talk a lot of shit to you on our personal life and texts and everything. I'm very mean to you, but in true life, I love you. I love you and I appreciate you. And that's what Comedy Gold Mines is about. Comedy Gold Mines is about getting inside the minds of these amazing people. Oh my God, these funny minds, and how amazing these minds are. Today's mind was no different. Ladies and gentlemen, Niecy Nash.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
I know what you're thinking, Niecy. God, he's so good at all everything he does. He's just so fucking good. Yeah,
damn. Actually, I was thinking, well, you know, it doesn't even matter.
Get off. Yeah, whatever. Get off my podcast. Goodbye.
Comedy Gold Mines is a Sirius XM and LOL audio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, and Eric Weil. With Tastemakers Media, Emil Garner, and Ian McDonald.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show, because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.